Great to have you along with us for Closer Look. I'm Dennis O'Hare.
And I'm Rose Scott. President Obama recently announced his Clean Power Plan. Now, that was aimed at reducing carbon emissions from coal-fired power plants. And as we've heard right here on Closer Look, Georgia officials fear that cutting the use of resources like coal and fossil fuel will actually raise energy costs, and that will hurt minorities and low-income families.
But Chandra Pope, CEO of the climate and environmental group Rooted, believes that clean energy is here to stay, and limiting the use of coal and fossil fuels will ultimately benefit those families. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks. Hi.
First of all, I mean, it sounds like a basic question, but the whole clean energy conversation has been one where at least some folks feel minority voices have been underrepresented. Number one, is that true, do you think? And
yeah.
Second, why is it important when we're talking about an issue that on paper at least seems to affect everyone equally?
Yeah, I actually do think that minority voices have been underrepresented in the conversation about climate. I think that there are many reports and different findings that show minorities do have an interest in climate change and energy policy, but I just think that traditionally some environmental organizations haven't necessarily drawn the parallels to some of the issues that have long plagued some of the African American community and minority communities.
Well, let's get to some of those. I mean, the president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Charles Steele, recently wrote an article in The Hill, which is a newsletter that goes around Washington, D.C., arguing against the president's clean power plan because, according to Charles Steele, the cost, and there will be costs, would disproportionately affect low-income families. So, for instance, if your electric bill goes up, that would disproportionately affect people who are having trouble affording electricity now. Is that reasonable, number one, and how would you respond to that?
No, you know, right now, the way that energy is produced and consumed in our country actually disproportionately impacts low-income and communities of color. You know, there are studies that show that African Americans and communities of color actually pay a disproportionate amount of their income to their utility bill currently.
But the argument is this would mean they'd pay even more.
Well, with the Clean Power Plan, there are going to be opportunities where states get to decide how they want to produce energy, and that could be some non-emitting sources. So I think that there are creative ways to actually bring in some minority voices so that they can be part of some of the job solutions. I think that the biggest issue really is about being able to have minority voices at the table so that they can be part of the developing the solutions that will be responsive to the needs of the community.
Well, let's talk about bringing those voices to the table. What does your group, your environmental group, Rooted, what is your mission and how you all involved in getting those voices to the table?
Well, that is exactly our mission, is to bring those voices to the table. I've spent about 10 years in the environmental sector, and I experienced when I would go to meetings or be involved in some dialogues that there were very few people who looked like me. And, you know, recently a lot of the environmental organizations have decided that they wanted to have a more broad conversation about climate to really increase the movement and the amount of voices that are advocating for some of these solutions. And lots of organizations, because traditionally and historically they haven't been able to approach these particular communities, are seeking some assistance.
You know, over the years, we've heard terms such as environmental injustice, mm-hmm. environmental racism, which actually deals with the actual physical effects of environmental issues on undeserved communities or low-income communities, one being from either, you know, landfills or vacant buildings that have, you know, toxins within that affect those communities, which could lead to physical ailments. So in addressing those issues, are we seeing more awareness about the physical effects of environmental issues on minority and low-income communities?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Previously, it was a lot of conversation about ice caps and polar bears when we thought about climate change and impacts from fossil fuel industry. But a lot of the messaging and some of the studies have changed to show how disproportionately public public health impacts are disproportionate. And so, yes, I think that a lot of people are looking at asthma studies, for instance, knowing that African Americans are disproportionately impacted by asthma as it pertains to other sectors.
I remember reading a report from a few years ago about public housing in various parts of the nation where you had termites and roach infestations, and that added to asthma and other respiratory issues because of whatever these roaches were carrying on themselves, and how that was affecting the children because they were in these public housing. And then now that's been a couple of years ago, but when you talk about addressing it, the awareness is there, but is anybody doing anything? Are we seeing any state, has there been some movement in actually, I guess, resources or programs that have actually benefited low-income or minority communities?
Well, yeah, I would say that particularly the Clean Power Plan is attempting to be a solution.
Yeah,
to
but that's
some
2015.
That's
been going on for a long time.
Well, and a lot of the, I would say a lot of the policies that came out of the EPA are attempting to, definitely provide solutions to lowering the public health impacts to children. I think, coal-fired power plants are disproportionately located in communities of color, and so it really impacts air quality. And so I guess that's kind of why I'm taking it back to the Environmental Protection Agency.
Sure.
So that there are some federal policies that are made available so that states can implement those to actually clean up our air quality.
We're speaking with Chandra Pope, CEO of the climate and environmental group Rooted. She believes the Clean Power Plan put forward by President Obama is a good idea and the clean energy is here to stay. Real quickly, though, let's look at the question of whether this is the only option to achieve the goal that everybody wants of cleaner air, which is, I think, what the concern is among state officials here in Georgia. First of all, President talked a lot about clean coal during his 2008 campaign, mentioned it prominently. So what's wrong 7 years later with having that be part of the mix? Just change how the existing plants burn the fuel that they burn.
Well, some would say that there is clean coal does not exist, and clean coal isn't an option.
Explain a little bit about what the concept is, because we're talking about lower sulfur, right? Lower sulfur, which produces lower emissions.
Right. And I kind of just back to your point, Dennis, I think that clean coal is not a technology that is, I feel like, is an option. I think that really we have to look at energy efficiency and renewables as a more safe option.
Well, Georgia Power and utilities like it here in Georgia are already ramping up alternatives that have very few emissions. Nuclear, whatever, wherever one falls on that argument, there's no question has fewer emissions. And solar, Georgia Power certainly ramping up its solar capacity. So is there math that you have to show that the Clean Power Plan would actually accomplish more than the momentum we're already seeing toward alternative energy?
I don't actually have any math that is a testament to that. But I guess the thought is that energy efficiency is the lowest cost resource. And it is really the resource that can be maximized, especially for low-income communities. And then I think that renewables is just an opportunity to create jobs and to really bring in marginalized communities that, again, haven't been at the table to develop some of these jobs and to be incorporated in a new market. I mean, we're in the clean energy revolution, so to speak, is an opportunity for us to have innovation. And I just believe that having minority communities at the table to help shape those solutions is really important.
Well, again, and that goes to this with environmental groups and utilities and regulators, everybody sitting down at that table. In the past, the two sides have often talked past each other, and everyone has an opinion now based on this climate plan. We talked to two different people here right here in our studio. So bring everybody to the table, and then what? Then what? People are going to say, well, I like the plan. People are going to say, I don't like the plan. Well, the state, the president says each state's going to have some time to work on this. So you get everybody to the table, and then what?
Well, then I think that you negotiate solutions that are responsive to people's different needs. I think that there are some options that are on the table. I think that, I mean, like you said, some of your, yes.
No, go ahead.
Some of your guests that you had previously, there was some conversation a little bit about nuclear. And again, people land in different places with that topic. But right now, there's stakeholders that aren't necessarily convened around one particular table to develop a solution that seems to be viable for everybody that's impacted.
Well, and right off the bat, we are hearing that there will be some legal challenges to this.
Yeah, that's what.
So what?
I really don't know. There are some possibilities that some of the states, particularly in the South, could have some legal challenges to the Clean Power Plan, and that would be unfortunate, and we hope that they don't. We do hope, I hope, that they will find some opportunity to see that this is progress and that it moves our state along. And so, I'm hopeful that that doesn't happen.
You mentioned some of the assistance that would be offered as part of this plan to low-income families who might have problems paying whatever increases might come about in utility bills. But would that cover everyone? Would every person who's impacted be able, number one, to find out about the assistance that might be available? And would there be enough for everybody?
I think that it would be, it's the utility would have to think creatively about some of the programs that they're going to offer and how they would expose those programs or market those programs. Like right now, I know that some of the utilities do have energy efficiency programs, and a lot of those programs don't necessarily have a high uptick in low-income communities where they're accessing those programs. So I think that it's really up to the utility to find creative ways to ensure that their customers and consumers are aware of those options.
And how would they do that? I mean, would you expect the Public Service Commission, which regulates utilities in the state,
right,
to tell them, here's what you have to do, or do you think they'd do it on their own?
I think that it would be a combination. And I also think that there's a role, obviously, for advocacy organizations to do a lot of the education to some of the customers so they can be aware of their options.
We have spoken with community groups right here on Closer Look just about in cleaning up local areas, particularly in the southwest part of the city. So does Rooted, your organization, do you guys also get involved in those initiatives? I mean, there's always initiatives to clean up the Chattahoochee and Georgia's streams and lakes and rivers and all of that. But as relates to pockets of communities of color, do you all go out and actually get hands-on and get involved in cleaning up those areas?
We have not yet. I believe that down the line we could possibly be involved in those efforts. Right now we're singularly focused on really trying to elevate voices of minorities in the federal policy and state policy.
How are you reaching them? You have to partner with the clergy, with churches,
absolutely,
with school districts. How are you reaching the community?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do a lot of engagement, do a lot of education. We inform panels and just do a series of events with organizations, and we partner with a lot of leadership in the city of Atlanta in some of the areas where we do work.
And just as a way to wrap up, maybe kind of a big picture thing about the environmental movement, there's always been a chicken or the egg sort of debate about why minority voices have not been heard as much in the environmental movement. And part of the idea is, well, it was initially started by mostly white folks who haven't, perhaps just because of lack of education, haven't paid attention to issues in the minority community. The other part of the argument is minority advocacy groups haven't gotten involved in the environmental movement because they were more concerned about economic things. Is either of those true, or is it both?
Yeah, I think partially it is true. I started out, saying that I think that traditionally environmental organizations haven't necessarily reached out to some traditionally minority-serving organizations and groups. And I also think that there are a lot of issues in the African-American community and minority communities that folks are focused on and traditionally have been focused on. But I think that it's really exciting because the climate, if you will, that we are in this country is allowing people to really understand the importance for these conversations to take place moving forward.
That line that you used earlier is stuck in my mind. You said moving beyond polar bears and ice caps and trying to get the information out about climate change and how it affects minority communities. Chandra Pope is CEO of the climate and environmental group Rooted. Thanks very much for coming in and taking time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And we would like to hear from you. If you have some concerns about climate change or clean energy, what do you think of climate? There's a big debate about climate change itself and whether humans cause it. Clean energy, what's the option that you might favor? Or are you concerned at all? Just call us, 404-733-0934. That's 404-733-0934. And press the number 2 and tell us your story, and we may use your comment on the air.